I guess we can get going by starting with a word of prayer, and then we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this session. Thank you for the music, the songs that we had from Andrea. We appreciate it so much, and we just ask that you can continue to lead us, guide us in the word, and ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are. I was looking at what the P in TULIP looks like, perseverance. And I was trying to show you that there's a lot here that Paul's talking about, you know, that he's talking about tribulations, perseverance, character, hope, and the fact that he rounds it all off with a because. And I think that's the most important part of this. Well, not the most important part, but it helps you understand what's happening here and what Paul's talking about. And this because here, the underlying word is actually a conjunction. And the purpose of that conjunction is to show us cause, which makes sense when you hear because, right? It's causal. So usually the cause of something, you can see what the cause is from something previous, which Paul just spoke about here. So he's talking about perseverance in the life. And then the reason for all this is because he says that the love of God has been poured out. You notice something about that? That already happened. This is already something that has happened to a believer, past tense of this word, has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. This in no way signifies an unbeliever. An unbeliever doesn't have the Spirit, doesn't have anything to do with the love of God having been poured out into their heart until they're a believer. That's when that happens, right? And the remaining of your life as a believer. Up to that point, the only thing that we can have anything positive to us, at least from God, is salvation, at least as an unbeliever. So I just wanted to point that out to you, that this only applies to believers to persevere in the plan of God as a person. That is a good thing, and it's a very commemorable thing by God. But only believers can persevere in the plan of God. So you got to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior first before you do that. It's not a karma-based system, right? It's not just the world here we're talking about. Another thing to mention about this verse, besides the past tense, is that it's a perfect passive. Which, as you know, that's something that's already happened in the past and is completed. Done deal. In other words, Paul's experiencing the results of this love having been poured out within his heart. And I would commend that these verses are referring to the growing and maturing believer more than just the new believer. If you're talking about persevering, you're talking about a believer who is being used by God and facing difficulties in life and having to apply the thing that God is, he's receiving in the word. And that's a believer that's persevering in the word through tribulations. And that's why he says we also exalt in our tribulations. The ability to see things differently from God's perspective, a different viewpoint, not just the pain, suffering, and the negative things, but to see it through God's divine perspective and will for your life means that we can exalt. Because the reality is that those tribulations are meant for a much bigger and better purpose for you as an individual than many people can see physically, right? We always have a tendency to look at the physical circumstances and not see that there is a lot more behind what you're experiencing as a human being. There is a divine portion of this and a spiritual portion. And you can see here that part of it is your character as a believer, as a person, as the way you uphold and think and live. And your character is important, right? It's what how you live day to day. That's part of your character. So And then for all those who are still a little confused about all this, Paul sums it up by explaining to his readers the reason why all this is possible in verse 6. In verse 6, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly." So there you go. That kind of gives you an idea of what we're talking about, right? While we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. So this is definitely believers here. I can definitively say that. Besides the passive voice of the Holy Spirit on my behalf, here's another one. Christ died for the ungodly, right? And he's actually pointing out total depravity again. Notice that. While we were still helpless, that's when Christ died for us. Not when we were persevering, while we were helpless. We couldn't do anything. So, the ungodly. Now, the ungodly means the unsaved. The unsaved. That's when Paul's just showing us what happened. He's showing us the picture here. Christ died for the unsaved, right? Even for the broken and the helpless, he died. So here we are. And then here we are back to, let's see here, our doctrinal statement. And I wanted to show you a verse here from the doctrinal statement, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. It actually mentioned 9 and 10, and it actually mentions the word gift again. We see the word gift. That's the one that we want, right? Or at least the one that God gives us that we want to see in Scripture. And so let me read it because you all know this verse so well. Ephesians 2, 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Notice the difference there. "Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." There is a lot here. There's a lot in these verses, right? You can probably see that. But the idea here is that there's a few key words that you should be picking up. One of them is, "For by grace you have been saved." I think that's the most important start of this. That's why it starts right there, right? And Paul is actually explaining, you can see that, "for" is an explanation. "For by grace you have been saved." That's the very first start of this. And, of course, we already talked about it, but there's a lot of confusion around that. But it's by means of God's grace. And remember, grace is being all that God is free to do on our behalf, not because of us, but because of what Jesus Christ did on our behalf. That's why grace is able to reach that extending hand, because of Christ. Christ is the one who we receive righteousness from. That is our point of contact with God, is Jesus Christ. So when we see "by grace," we should immediately think of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because without the cross, there is no relationship. There is no, that fellowship can't come back together. That alienation must stay the way it is without Jesus Christ. So, by grace. Notice another word here. Through faith. There's a lot of, I think, misunderstandings about what "through faith" means. When I think of "through" something, I think of a pipe. I think of water going through a pipe is what I think. Now, notice that the pipe isn't necessary. The water is still going to be there. If the pipe is removed, the pipe is broken, the water is still going to be, you know, there. The pipe is in existence. And it's no different with us in salvation. Salvation is complete. It's done. It's already there. God is just giving you the means by which to receive it. And that pipe for us is faith, right? It doesn't change salvation if you don't have that faith. It's already been done. It's occurred. The living water is already there. You just need a way to receive that living water. You need to have your pipe in place. And that pipe for us is through faith. That's it. That's the pipe, right? So part of this is, let's look at this. I wanted to show you this because we just read through this, and I want to show you kind of, you know, what these verses are leading up to. And Paul talks about this way back in chapter 2. We have to go back to chapter 2. Look what he says. He's explaining of what we came from. He says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." Let's keep going. Verse 4, "But God," there's your contrast, "being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ," and then it says, "by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in the kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." So that's pretty clear. And so when we make it to our verse, Paul starts with the explanation for because. He's explaining more. He's going into more detail. He's showing them what they came from and where they are now. And now he's saying for. Now, you might be wondering why I have verse 1 up here. One way to tell about a passage and its context is you need to know who the people are talking to. You have to understand who Paul's talking to. And when we see a verse and we're wondering, you know, does this apply to me? Does it apply to an unbeliever? Does it apply to both of us? Well, we know it's the Word of God. Everyone can take application away from God's Word in some way, but we need to know what way that is, right? One way to tell if this is referring to believers is to look at the language, right? Look at the language. You see some of the language here? "Even when we were dead," past tense. Notice there's something going from something to something. "Made us alive together with Christ," believer, Jesus Christ. "Raised us up with him." These are things that can only happen to a believer in Jesus Christ. And you can pick a lot of these things up. You can see that this can't be referring to an unbeliever. This has to be a believer. Right? Another way to see that is to look at the introduction of a letter. And as I just showed you, Paul calls out who he's writing to. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus." So not only are they believers, but they're faithful believers, apparently, according to Paul. So there's a couple ways you can see that who the audience is one is by seeing, does this apply to all? Can that only happen to believers, right? And the language will tell you that very clearly, or the salutation in the letter, which we see here. So something just a little tad bit interesting to know that audience is very important, right? I would say so. So here we are back to 2 verse 8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved," and then through faith. And this is another one of those things that we have words that actually mean something. We quote this verse quite often, and we don't think about grace. We don't think about the fact that you have been saved, and we don't think about through faith. If we don't think about those three words, we lose sight of the gospel message, because these are definitely required to even communicate anything about salvation. If anyone wants to be saved, they have to know about the freeness of salvation. They also have to know about it takes faith, which includes nothing on their part except belief. And that's, you know, that's the basis of the salvation message. And in our day and age, we need people that can understand this, because we have a lot more that don't and a lot more that are teaching something different from this. So if we're going to grow anything in the plan of God, if we're going to grow believers, if we're going to grow the body of Christ, we have to begin to make it simple. Just as God makes it simple for us, we have to begin to make it simple and understandable for other people. I think that's important to do. So, let's keep going. Acts 16:30. I wanted to read this to you, and I'll tell you why after I read it. Acts 16:30 says, "And after he brought them out, he said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Now, immediately, you probably recognize where this is from, who's talking. This is the jailer, remember, that got in trouble, or he thought he was going to be in trouble, at least. He was very scared, right? Because God had caused an earthquake, and it was an earthquake, that basically released the prisoners from their prison cells, right? It rattled everything open. And he got scared because Paul and Silas were out. Everybody else was out. And here we are. This is him talking. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He was at his wit's end. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" Right? What did they tell him? "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." That's what he said. Now, think about this. This man is asking what he has to do to be saved. And Paul tells him, or they tell him, it says, to simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Notice he doesn't qualify it. He doesn't add any stipulations. He doesn't say you have to say it out of your mouth. He doesn't say you have to go be baptized. He doesn't say you have to go to church. He doesn't say you have to be a faithful believer, persevering to the end. He says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. You know, in a moment, sometimes this is all that you have the time. This is all the person can receive. Sometimes this is all the person. That's it. And God makes it so simple for us because he knows that sometimes we don't have all the time with the person that we need. And in this moment, you know, this is a very... there's a lot of emotions going on right now. So sometimes you just have to hit them right between the eyes with this right here. With this right here. And that's fine, even if there's emotion or not. Right? So a lot of people say, well, this is saying that if Paul's saved, well, his household will be saved too. No. This is saying that this believing in the Lord Jesus Christ applies to him and it applies to his household. In other words, if you do believe this, you will be saved, no matter if it's you or your household. Whoever believes is going to be saved. So here's the requirement, I guess you could say. Faith is required to receive. There's the requirement. If you want to put a requirement, there is a requirement to accept or believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Exactly what this verse says. That's the requirement, and that's the only one. And I might add that it's a very easy, simple requirement that God has given us, at least on the manward side of this, right? You have to say that. 1 John 5:13 says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." This is another great verse that, you know, we don't really think a lot about it, but look at some of these words in this verse. Some of these words are knowing that you have eternal life. You know what? The only way to know something is to follow what someone tells you in the instruction of knowing it. Knowing it is something that you understand in your brain as true. Right? And this is saying, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Do you see any, you know, a lot of rules behind this? And I think John knew that there was a lot of false teachers, because guess what? He wrote the book based on false teaching. That was a problem in the book of 1 John. John knew that, and so he had to keep it simple, because there was a lot of people teaching that there was a lot more to it than this. So he knew that he even had to bring it up to a higher level. He said the name of the Son of God. Because guess what they were doing? There was a lot of false teaching going on. And there was a lot of things happening when people were believing that false teaching and being deceived. Now, one thing about this verse is there is a subjunctive mood in here. Now, you know what the subjunctive mood is it's a possibility. It introduces possibility. And the subjunctive mood is on the word knowing, to know. Now, let me tell you something. Knowing, that doesn't mean that you may or may not have salvation. That has nothing to do with it. What this is saying is that there is a condition on you knowing. There is a condition. The condition is always found in the previous phrase. How do you know? If you believe in the name of the Son of God. That's why. Otherwise, you don't know. This verse is just pointing back to the requirement for salvation. And it's saying, so that you may know. That's why the may is in there. It's dependent on whether you believe or not. Always belief is always the issue here in salvation. And so by salvation, I mean what this verse says, eternal life. Isn't that what salvation has to do with? Being eternally saved from death and hell? Salvation. So, that is a very good verse for anyone that is confused about salvation and they want to see maybe a verse on it, the freeness of it. And there's always a purpose or a result that usually God includes in his word, right? There's the so that, you see it? The belief is for the purpose that you may know. God has given us content for us to think with and know something as fact. Why? Not because it was just found somewhere in a book in the library. It's because it's from God's word. That's why. That's the reason why. So this is getting interesting, right? And we're trucking through these verses. And there's more. In other words, there's more. That is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now, I might add that Paul didn't have to include this. He didn't have to include this, right? The message is already done. Look what he says back in the verse. For by grace you have been saved through faith. He could have stopped there, right? But he didn't. Look, he kept going. He kept going in the verse. And that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Okay, let's stop there. I think it's important to know that it's not of ourselves. If I haven't talked about that enough, well, I'll talk about it a little bit more. It's not of anything that we can bring to the table. And we have to understand that to get that across to people, because if they don't understand that, it will be from themselves. Or apparently, right? That's not the solution, but you understand that that can be something that we think. And then here's our word for gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. A gift is something that's given. A gift is something that's not earned, or maybe in your house, I don't know. But God's gifts are based on Him. Him alone, and He gives them by grace. This is that word that we saw earlier. And then Paul could have stopped there, but he didn't. He kept going because there's a lot of confusion, right, about what we are to do or not do for salvation. He qualifies it even more. He says, not a result of works. It's not the result of you doing some kind of work on this earth to, you name it, satisfy, work for salvation. It doesn't matter. He said it's not a result of that. And that's why I'm telling you there's going to be a lot of confused, a lot of people that are surprised when we get to heaven. But the easy part about this is God can settle it by showing him one verse. He can settle the problem right there. Well, you know, it's pretty easy. It was here. You just chose not to receive it or accept it. So, the bottom line is, did you believe in Christ or did you not believe in Christ? And if you did believe in Christ, did you add anything to that belief? Did you add anything to that belief? That's why it's called faith plus or faith alone. Faith plus or faith. There's two camps. There's faith plus and there's faith alone. And they'll throw a lot of terms at you. Oh, that's cheap grace. That's too easy. That's too free. God would never do that. Blah, 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 blah. Just show them a scripture and be done with it. Faith plus or faith alone. You have to remember the cross is all sufficient. That's what saves. Jesus Christ saves, not us. We don't save ourselves. There you go. All the way to the end. You made it. Wow, I don't think we've ever done that. I'm surprised to see that black screen there. Usually we have at least another few slides to go, but we made it to the end. So I guess we will stop there for the day and come back next week and learn more about the Word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful that you've given us the material that we need to see and hear today. It's always new. It's always fresh, even though we've seen these verses many, many times. Your Holy Spirit has a way to put them on our hearts. That's always refreshing and different and new. And we just pray that we can continue to live these things out in our lives and to also present them to other people, because we're here for a specific purpose. And it's not just for ourselves. It's to include people in your plan, in your body, and to be your children. And we're so grateful for that concept. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.